I want us to look at this passage in Mark 6 today under the title, The Hungry Fed. We all know the expression, pride comes before a fall. But pride just isn't being very outwardly and very loudly boastful. Pride can be a much more quieter and subtle thing. A quiet reliance on self rather than on God. And this famous passage that we're looking at today about the feeding of the 5,000 has underneath it an important lesson for people to learn about relying on Christ and not on themselves. We are humble when we rely on Jesus. We're proud when we rely on ourselves. The first point I want us to see from this passage today is the Saviour's priority in verses 30 to 32. Just before this, Jesus had sent the disciples out on their first ministry trip, and they saw wonderful things happen. Back in verses 12 and 13, we read, "So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." As you could imagine, the disciples sent out on a trip like that, they were preaching, they were teaching, people were healed, evil spirits were cast out. They must have come back absolutely excited by what had gone on. It's for parents, it's like when a little child has seen something or done something, so it excites them and they come back and the words, you can hardly get the words out. I'm sure it was a bit like that. The 12 disciples came back and they were babbling. They were so thrilled by all that had taken place. And we read in verse 30, the disciples returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And so they were so thrilled and excited by what they had been involved in, what they had done. Knowing success and having wonderful blessing in our lives are great things for us to experience. But with success and blessing, there does come dangers. The danger of being carried away by the excitement. The danger of coming to think too much of ourselves. The danger of pride, being too full of ourselves. There are dangers in success and blessing. So what is Jesus' response to the disciples being so thrilled and excited by what they have been involved in? Well, look at verse 31. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves." Jesus knows that too much activity, including too much spiritual activity, without taking time to rest physically and to rest spiritually in Christ, is not good for his people. Much activity, a little time resting with Jesus, can certainly leave us open to the sins of pride and self-reliance. And if we are people who are busy, busy, busy doing and not resting in Jesus, that is what can happen to us. And I wonder, are you someone who's good at activity? If there's a job to be done, you're up for it, you'll be ready to do it, but not so good at taking the time that you need to rest in Christ. Do you see the value of waiting on Jesus? Of waiting on Jesus in the place of prayer and Bible study? Do you see that as being so important? If you are someone who is busy, 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 but doesn't see waiting on Christ as a priority for your life, then you could be guilty of very serious pride. Serious pride, because it's if you see yourself as being like God. If you see yourself as someone who can go, 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 and doesn't have to take time resting in God, you're becoming like God in your thinking. You think you can do whatever you want, and you don't need to take time to be revitalized, to be refreshed, to be fed, to be nourished by the Lord. Another important point to consider as we think of the importance of resting in Christ is because what is important to Jesus is not just what we do, but what's important to Jesus equally is who we become by being changed on the journey, by being changed on the inside. And so it's possible to be busy, 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 but if we're not taking that time to rest in Christ on the journey, that internal change may not be taking place. Because that inward transformation comes through taking that time resting in Christ's presence, in worship, in prayer, in Bible study. So the disciples were so busy, they were doing wonderful things for the Lord. What did they need? Time alone with Christ. That was his priority. And it should be a priority for your life and for mine. Just don't be a doer. Be a waiter, a rester in Christ. So we have the Saviour's priority. And then secondly, we have the people's passion in verses 33 to 34. There's so many people come to them that Jesus takes the disciples away in the boat across the Sea of Galilee. But the people see them leaving and they follow from many different towns, it says. And by the time Jesus and his disciples reach the other shore, the people have already run round themselves and have got there before them. And a great multitude had gathered. Look there at what is said in verse 33. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Here we see a tremendous passion in these people in seeking Christ. They've ran around the lake, and temperatures probably much more than temperatures we experience. They ran around the lake to get there even before the disciples in the boat. Passionate by seeing Jesus, passionate about meeting with Christ, passionate about spending time with Christ. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how passionate are we about seeking Christ? If you're not saved, how passionate are you about finding Jesus? This should be your greatest passion in life. This is the most important thing that can ever happen to you in your life. It's coming to know Jesus. You need to know Jesus if you're going to go to heaven one day. So you should be passionate about seeking Christ. If you are a believer, how passionate are you about meeting with Christ and spending time in his presence so that you'll grow and develop in your Christian life? I remember a number of years ago hearing a speaker one night at an evening service speaking about Christians in a certain country that they would swim across this great river to another country in order to go to Bible studies. It was very dangerous, the river, and if they had been caught by the border guards, they would have been arrested and put in prison in that country. But they did it. They were so hungry for the Word of God. I remember some time ago, I met a man from the Ukraine and telling him about services there, which would last 3 or 4 hours. I says, boy, that's long. He says, aye, but the people are hungry. How hungry are you to meet with Jesus? How hungry are you for his word? We see from this passage that we should make every effort to meet with Jesus. We see why in verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And this compassion that Jesus has, this love that Jesus has for us, should motivate us to spend time in his presence. What better company could we have than Jesus? What better place could there be than in the presence of the Almighty? Jesus sees the need of the people to be led and to be guided by him. He sees them like sheep without a shepherd. They don't have real purpose. They don't have real direction in life. And it's not true of so many people today. They need to be led. They need the guidance of the good shepherd. And Jesus here spends the, the rest of this day teaching the people the truth of God's word. The people are to be commended for spending so much time in the presence of Jesus and listening to his teaching. They had a passion for this, a passion for the truth. What is your passion like? What's your passion for the word? What do you have a passion for more than for the word of God? Maybe you need to pray about that. Maybe there are certain things in your life that you need to fast from, take time away from, because they've become too important to you. How much do you see your need to be taught by Christ from his word? Do you understand that so often you're like a sheep without a shepherd? Do you understand that so often you're going in the wrong direction? You don't know where to go in life because you're not spending enough time letting Jesus teach you from his word. Letting Jesus be your counselor, your guide, your shepherd. Like so many parents, I've had the pleasure of going to the parent-teacher interviews in school over the years. And one of the things I've heard different teachers say, not just from schools of where children have been in, from other schools as well, that in these parent-teacher interviews, that so often the children who need the most help are those whose parents do not turn up for the parent-teacher interview. Those who need the most help don't see the need to meet. And it's often the case, people who don't really see the need to sit under biblical teaching, to sit under the teaching of Christ, those who don't really see the need to study the books of the Bible and to have these taught, those who don't see the need to be at the different services in midweek Bible study, let me say this, those are the people who have the greatest need to be there. If you have no desire to be there, no hunger to be there, oh, it's because you're being blinded, you're being mixed up. You have a need to be there. Pray for a passion. Pray for a passion like these people who ran around the lake, a passion to come into the presence of Christ and to sit under his teaching. So we've seen, first of all, the Saviour's priority. We've seen the people's passion. And then thirdly, we have the disciples' dilemma in verses 35 to 38. As the day grew late, the disciples asked Jesus to send the rest of the people away to get some food because they were in a very remote place. There weren't any shops or bakeries about. And so they do what seems to be a very wise thing to do, suggesting that Jesus sends them away. But Jesus has a different agenda, as is so often the case. Verse 37, but he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And he said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" Now, why does Jesus ask his disciples to do this impossible task? Why? Remember the background of what has just been happening. The disciples have had this great experience of preaching, casting out evil spirits, of seeing people healed from their sickness, of being used by God in this way. And there was a real danger that they could come to rely too much on themselves, on what they could do, and not rely enough or rely fully on God. And in order for these disciples to be men used by God, Jesus is wanting them to be aware of their own limits and also to be aware that God is the one who has no limits in what he can do. Jesus asked the disciples how much they had in verse 38. And he said, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five loaves and two fish." And it is vital for us to be aware of how little we have in ourselves if we're going to be used by God. God does great things when people become aware of and accept the truth of what Jesus would say in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's when we understand that in ourselves, we have nothing to contribute in our own strength, in our own power, it's then that God is able to use us. When we will rely fully on God's strength, on God's power, for what happens. And sometimes Jesus brings us into situations which are absolutely hopeless and we're absolutely helpless to do anything for us to rely more fully on him and what he can do. Are you convinced of that truth? When Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. By yourself, you can do nothing. Do you believe that in regards to the work of the kingdom? That in yourself, you can achieve nothing? It's when we come to accept and embrace that truth to the very depths of our being that we will be drawn to Jesus in prayer and in our helplessness cry out for his strength, for his help when we are helpless ourselves. Isn't it often, I've said in another sermon, God's way, like an obstacle race, he puts the obstacles in front of us, obstacles which we can't get over, and he comes and lifts us over to show his greatness. So there we have the disciples' dilemma. And then fourthly, we have the Saviour's control in verses 39 to 44. And as we think of how limited the disciples were and what they could do, there's now a major contrast as we come in to consider the unlimited power of Jesus, which is now revealed. Look there at verse 39, which says, then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And I think there comes across from this passage, as Jesus gets him into these ordered groups, a great sense of Jesus taking control here. There is this vast crowd, and Jesus takes total command of it all. I was just reminded last week of an incident which happened a number of years ago when Cherif and I were on an outreach team in Newry, and there was a bomb alert one night, and the police came into the hall. We had over 30 young people on the team, and the police told us that we had to get out of the hall because there was a suspicious car just down the road a wee bit. And we all came out and we were all sort of milling around, and the police were asking, is everyone here? And we're trying to count. And I remember there's a policeman just took total control. He says, right, everybody in the groups of six. And everybody got in the groups of six. And within no time at all, he had counted and made us aware that everyone was there. He just took that control in a situation of chaos. And that's what we see Jesus doing here. In this vast crowd, he just takes total command. Look at verse 41, it says, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. Here we have a situation of great need, this vast crowd with no food to eat, but no problem for Jesus. Just five little loaves of bread, two little fish, no problem. He miraculously feeds 5,000 men plus the women and the children beyond that. In case the extent of the miracle was doubted, the collecting of the 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish is highlighted in verse 43. So Jesus begins with five little loaves of bread, two little fish. Over 5,000 men and women and children are fed, and 12 baskets remain after it all. And this miracle brings home to our common situations in life. So often we are like the disciples, so limited, so helpless to meet the needs of ourselves, or our families, our church, our community, the needs that are all there around us. We're so helpless to meet those needs. But then there's Jesus, the bread of life, the eternal Son of God, with power, with love, with wisdom beyond measure. He is there beside us, and he is calling on us. And in this situation of need, look to me, trust in me, pray to me, find in me the answer to the need. So we either can try in our own feeble efforts to do that which is beyond us, or we can come to the one with unlimited power. Who are we going to rely on? Ourselves? And our meager resources and strength? Or Jesus with his abundant resources and strength? Yes, we are to be active in the work of the kingdom. Don't get me wrong, we are to be active. We are to bring our meager 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. We are to bring all that we can to Jesus. We are to do what we can. But we are to rely not on what we do. We are to rely 100% on the power and the greatness of Jesus and how he can use our little contributions. Oh, I remember hearing a story a number of years ago. It was in the Max Lucado book of a man called Robert. And Robert had a very severe condition that he couldn't dress himself, he couldn't feed himself, he could barely talk. But he left America, he went to Portugal to be a missionary. And this is a man who really physically was so disabled. But every day he went to a square and he gave out brochures about Jesus. And God used that man wonderfully, and many people were brought to a faith in Jesus Christ, including a lady, I think her name was Rosa, who would later become his wife. There was a man who, outwardly, worldly views, had so little to offer, but in the hands of the Master, oh, amazing things could happen. But the key thing was he trusted in the Master. He trusted fully in Jesus, not in himself, but in the Lord. Let's go back to where we started. If we trust in Jesus, we're to be those who take the time to rest in the Lord, to rest in Jesus in the place of prayer, to rest in Jesus in the study of his word, and then from there, go out and give our 5 loaves and 2 fish and watch and marvel at what Christ will do with us. Amen.